Senior Focus.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Senior Focus, this edition. I'm your presenter, Anne-Marie Puri, for this edition, and I'm wanting to have a chat session this afternoon following up the symposium that AUG put on covering issues about seniors' strategy and development in the city, their needs, and what was happening with the age-friendly movement. It was a very excellent symposium that went across the day and into the evening. It was quite comprehensive, and so I talked about some aspects of it, but I want to continue my dialogue around this, particularly because fortuitously I was able to meet with the Minister for Seniors only a few days after the symposium and put some questions to her. So first up, I want to talk about one of the presenters from Auckland Transport, Tiffany Robinson, because she had been involved with a piece of research, a survey done on walking in the city. There was some work done by university students over a number of years, and the former professor of architecture and planning at Auckland Uni, Dory Reeves, presented on some of the work that she had done with Mick Smelly and Hugo on the inner city area, on the cut-throughs, the shortcuts that people take. St. Kevin's Arcade is probably the famous one, the one that most people are familiar with, but there's many other shortcuts in the city. And so the research that AT undertook was to look at what was the level of awareness that people of the cut-throughs, how aware were they? And it's interesting, St. Kevin's Arcade came up at top of the list. More than 50% of the people surveyed were aware of it, whereas some of the others were down in the 10% area. You would have to live in the immediate neighbourhood to probably know about them. But now that there is information online, which I'm going to give you a reference for, this will actually enable people to make more use of these. It would be an interesting stroll on a Sunday afternoon to just go for a walk through some of these cut-throughs. And when the weather's good and it's not raining, you would find it very, very interesting because there are historical monuments, there are there's artwork and sculpture. There's all sorts of things tucked away in these cut-throughs that are worth investigating. And life in mystery tour, you don't know what you're going to come across necessarily, although some things are indicated online, if you go online. Now, Tiffany unveiled a new map, a walking brochure, which you can open up and which shows you some of the highlights of what you might see in some of these cut-throughs if you need to investigate them. And that's quite a useful map. It's available through A2 again, off their website, or I would imagine it's going to be in libraries eventually, but look out for it anyway. Now the resource you need is https://at.government.gov.nz/cycling/walking/walking/walking-in-Auckland-city-centre. So that's quite a mouthful, really. But I would say that if you put walking in Auckland city centre, you might find, into Google, you might find that you get the page on the AT site anyway, that you're likely to. I haven't tried that, but I suspect that might be the best shortcut. So Tiffany is available to go out and speak to groups, and seniors might well be interested in their presentation. It's certainly positive, and it brings up a lot of interest, and it highlights the art and the sculpture and some of the discoveries that people made through their awareness being raised. There's nothing like doing a survey with people and then they actually want to go out and look at what they've talked about. We're getting to the time of the year when we think about connecting with our family, we think about celebrating Christmas with family, we think about going on the Kiwi traditional road trip, maybe to a batch facility where we meet other members of our extended family. But if whatever road trip you might be on, definitely have a plan to stay safe in terms of making sure you have set stops at convenient intervals. You look at work out where you're going to stop, how you're going to get nourishment and hydrate yourself, because we've had a cool period and people are not necessarily comfortable in heat. And because it has been cool, we're not used to the heat. So if we suddenly get a heat wave and we're traveling in the car, we can get dehydrated very quickly. So my advice is to put some time into planning around what you're going to take with you. And these days, because of the roadworks in Auckland and because of congestion and pile-up, you can never really predict when you're going to be caught in a four-hour traffic jam. I take a backpack with supplies because I don't want to be trapped in a hot car. I don't want to be dehydrated. I also have to take meds at frequent intervals and I don't want to be caught out, not able to take things at their usual time. I'm used to taking them. So I make sure that I've got extra food and water with me. And it wasn't amiss because I can recall sometimes where I've been caught on the Kapiti Coast, for example, on the Vision Wellington, and just been on the side of the road for 3 or 4 hours, and it's pretty miserable if you haven't got food and water. So that's my health and safety message for the holidays. But as I thought about it, I thought, now, you check water and towel and oil, and of course you top up with petrol, preferably when you're outside of Auckland, it's cheaper. But what about air filters? Those are things that people often forget about. There is a cabin filter that's behind your glove box, which actually may have spiders and insects and all sorts of dirt and leaves trapped in it. But those particles can end up affecting the performance of your motor and certainly affect the air and the quality of your cabin. But the air filter itself prevents dust particles getting into the engine. But if it's very old and tired, and if you've got a Japanese import, it probably has never been replaced. You may have the original air filter in it. And you may find that if you get it removed and a new one put in, that your engine wear and tear reduces. That you actually don't need to have spark plugs replaced as often. And you may also find that your petrol consumption actually is less. So there's a lot of advantages in changing the air filter, and they cost around about, well, it depends on the make and model of the vehicle, but for an average size, medium Japanese car, you're going to cost you around about $20 to $25. You may get them slightly cheaper than that, but that's not much to spend, and even it doesn't take long to flip it either. So it's not a big expense, but it's going to save you petrol money and it's going to improve the overall running of your car. So worthwhile doing that as part of your preparation for going on a road trip. Now, the big thing is, where do you go? I mean, if you haven't got a batch and you haven't got a place that's the favourite locality to head for. Here's a couple of really good suggestions, because they're not hugely expensive in terms of petrol, but there are some quite cheap accommodation options like backpackers and so on in the vicinity. So the first one is Raglan, and it's a delightful town, full of wonderful produce. I love organic produce. We love very interesting products, arts and crafts and things to see and do, as well as being able to go fishing and lots of really good walks, including up Mount Pirongia. So I think you won't be bored. You'll have plenty of variety for everyone. And my second choice is to go down to Hamilton on the new expressway and go to Hamilton Gardens. Because Hamilton Gardens, you can go to a variety of gardens. My favourite one is the Indian one, which just takes me back to India. But there are many different options available, and you can take a picnic and spend a whole day wandering around different sections of it. So that would be an excellent option. And then perhaps moving into the South Waikato, to Tira or Lake Karapiro or somewhere where you can camp casually in camping grounds. Or again, there are backpackers at Te Araha, and you might even end up walking around the waterfall up in the Kaimai Ranges or going to the hot pools by Nakamata. So there's plenty of choice. You don't have to go a long way. You don't have to put yourself under a huge strain to go on the road trip of the century. You can just do something small and light for 2 or 3 days, and it can be a restorative break because you're not having to drive too far, and you get a lot of fresh ideas, a lot of fresh things to enjoy and relax, and you don't have to be worn out by it. So those are my suggestions. I hope you will be able to take those on board and do something with them. Really go follow them up. I'd be very interested in what your experiences are. We'd also like to hear from yourself. Now, one thing I've been doing is been doing some speaking up about what's happening in our ancient city and where we might be going to. We've got some big submissions coming up. In February, we had the submission on the future of local government to comment on. We also had the annual plan council and how they're going to manage the black hole and the $270 million shortfall in income, most of which is not coming from rates. 60% of council income comes from non-rating sources, from a whole variety of things, whether it's the council-owned businesses like the airport and the ports of Auckland, or whether it's things like film companies paying to hire parks and streets and so on to do filming at certain locations. Of course, there won't be much of that under COVID. Lots of things have been affected by COVID, and so the fulfillment part is a reason for the tremendous loss of income. But this will be sharpening the minds of councillors as they look at where cuts might come and how the acts might fall. And this will be something that I guess will have to be part of the consultation council does with people next year. So I'm getting sort of prepared by doing some homework around all of this. And I did find back from winter 2015 a front page article that I'd written for the Grey Power Focus magazine called Fixing Our Broken Cities. I thought, oh yes, that could be a title for something that Mayor Brown might be going to write. So I was intrigued to think, well, what did I write back in the day? And I read through the one page, which is about 400 words. And when I read through it, I thought, you know, I could have written it last week. There's not much in it that I would actually want to change if I was going to publish it right now. And as I looked at it again, I thought, yes, there's a couple of sentences that were just perhaps a little bit too much of a broad brush strokes, I would want to tweak those and ameliorate some of the toughness of the fence, if it's critiquing some of the council-controlled organisations. I think, for example, Watercare has made quite a lot of efforts to be better at communicating with customers, better at following up things, and having better systems in place for communication. So I wouldn't want to tick them off in quite the same way as I had in this article. But apart from a couple of things, the article could stand. It could be written just now, put out just now, and nobody would bat an eyelid. I mean, it's so relevant. It's just exactly what people are talking about. So that led me to think maybe I could publish it and have a little contest and see who can pick the two sentences that I would have changed. You know, it was the kind of thought that I had, a bit of a cheese, but certainly there are things that we can do to fix Auckland. There's plenty of things we can do to fix Auckland. We don't just have to moan about David Auckland. I think we have to be careful to think about the things that are working well. And there has been change since 2010. I wrote that article in 2015. Some of my concerns are still relevant. I think it's very fair to say that we have got some issues about how the city handles governance, how people's voices get heard or not, and how we can put the local back into our communities, because our communities are what make us feel connected. Our communities, if they're strong, they protect us in times of disaster and storms and heat waves and all sorts of things that are affecting us now under climate change. We need our communities. We need our communities to be well housed, to be well connected, and for people's well being, they are essential. So if we don't look after our communities, if we say only concentrate on what we do and forget about the rest of Auckland, then I think it will be really sad. So all of the councillors, all of the elected representatives on boards have got a very big job to do to listen to their communities and act in their community's best interest when it comes to the decision making that's on the table early next year. So I think it might be time for a music break right now, and I've chosen Crowded House's number. I don't think it's over, and that just seems to be quite timely, because none of the things that we've been talking about in the last month or two are over, and there's many things that we're going to face as ongoing challenges. And we'll be talking about them for some time yet. So listen and enjoy, and I'll get back in touch with you straight after the music, and we'll talk again.
No proof. The pipe cuts it down.
Just before we go, I do want to talk about the question I put to the Minister for Seniors at the meeting last week, because it involves how to address the clash between the movement for age friendly wanting accessibility and suitability of housing for seniors, and even having an action plan as a better later life strategy, which the minister is in charge of, even having an active point, isn't it, to do with accessibility, to get members to talk with the urban development policy people in Wellington about the need to shift the building code to make the building code more accessible. However, the question to the minister was, what was her view of this clash between what the age-friendly movement and the Better Later Life strategy is saying about what seniors' needs are, and what is actually happening with the Enabling Housing Act and the intensification in Auckland, where we've got three-story buildings going, and we don't have garaging, we don't have acoustic tiles to cut down noise, we don't have good access, we don't have lifts, we don't have anything accessible, specifically listed in the building code about showers, for example. So the minister said she was in dialogue with Megan Woods, who's the Minister for Housing, but in actual fact, this is something that I'm going to have to keep questioning, following up, and keeping an eye out for. So you can watch this space and listen again, because we will be talking about it again. So until next week, enjoy your week, and we'll look forward to having you with us again. Thank you.
You Here Together with Senior Focus next Sunday at 5:25 p.m. on Planet FM 104.6, or listen online at any time at planetaudio.org.nz/Senior Focus, and do note Senior Focus is one word.